Week number four, the need to be special. And if I had the time, I would have had a click right there where somebody says, well, aren't you just special? The need to be special. We're going to be in Psalms 139 and then 1 Corinthians 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can put a gum wrapper in one and your finger in the other. But Psalm 139, verse 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today we're going to talk on this thought, the need to be unique. And thanks to the internet and thanks to social media, there are many, many people who are trying to be seen and trying to be unique. There's nothing more pathetic looking than someone who is trying to become TikTok famous. And they're grown and you look at them and you're like, good grief. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you look at it and you're like, stop, you're embarrassing yourself. The need to be special. Let's look at that here, beginning in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise thee. Why? Well, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this just so we can get on with the show here. But 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing, he says, the body is not one member but many. Our body has a lot of moving parts. Cassidy just got up to sing. She's going to be a doctor in just a few months. A doctor of teeth. We call those dentists. A tooth doctor. But you know, a tooth doctor is not the same as a podiatrist. One is operating on your feet, and the other says, ew, I can reach in your nasty mouth all day long, but don't let me see feet. There's two different parts of the body. Our bodies are made up of multiple parts. The body is not one, but many. If the foot shall say, well, I'm not a hand, could you imagine your foot just waking up one day and being like, how come you're not using me to write your name? I'm not a hand. I don't guess I belong to the body because you didn't use me to write your signature. I like the way God thinks here. It's like, I would have never thought of that. Verse number 16, if the ear shall say, well, I'm not the eye, therefore, I'm not the body. You were trying to read that board and you didn't squint your ears. You were looking. So I don't guess I matter. Is not the all the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body was an eye, how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? God's asking some really logical and profound questions. And yet, it's at the same time, it's like, that's in the Bible? That's weird. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. God gave us fingers as it pleased him. God gave us toes, even the one that went to the market. God gave us our hands and our toes. God gave us our eyes, and he even gave us our elbow. He gave us all 1,001 parts. He did it as it pleased him. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. What he's saying here is that it is okay to be different. It is okay to be who you were made to be. And man, if we could learn that at an early age, if we could figure that out a long time ago, we sure would do a whole lot better in life. But you realize we just read from Psalms where the Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, meaning that you were made on purpose by design. And thought went into your life, thought went into your race, thought went into your face, thought went into your gender, thought went into your handicap or your lack thereof, God made you precisely as he needed you. And he said, you are like a body, being the body of Christ. And some of you are the fingers, some are the hands, some are the toes, some are the ears, some are the mouth. But we're all made for a specific role. And when I'm signing my name at the Mexican restaurant, and they're saying, it's going to ask you one question right here, as if they don't know what the question's going to be. Just need to have you look at this, and it's going to ask you one question, then go ahead and sign. As I'm looking at that and signing my name on it, I don't look around and say, hey, here, can you sign that for me? My hands are busy. That would be something wild. Stick the pen in and try it. It don't work very well that way. But when I'm trying to hear, when I'm eavesdropping in the grocery store and somebody's talking about how they ain't taking baby daddy back, I don't take my hand and reach up trying to hear. I just kind of... All of us have certain things we use for different things. And the Bible says that we were made on purpose and that we belong. There are a whole lot of people, metaphorically speaking, who are upset that they're not the hand in the church, or upset that they're not the foot, or upset they're not the mouth, or upset that they're not this or that. But here's what I have learned. You don't really appreciate body parts until they stop working. And then suddenly you're like, you know what? I had a good elbow once upon a time, but I ain't got a good elbow anymore. But I used to really like that elbow. Once it quit working, I realized how grateful I was for it and how much I needed it. And the same is true in this room right here. You might feel like you don't contribute very much, but me looking around and just seeing your pretty smiling face, I looked way too long at you whenever I said that, and I'm sorry. Me just looking around whenever I see you, that is an encouragement in itself. But it's all right. I'm marrying him and his wife in October, so it's all good. The 22nd? No, okay. The 25th? All right, good. Well, I need to figure out what I scheduled for the 25th then. We are all unique and made on purpose. Here's the sad thing, though. We live in a world obsessed with being special, with standing out, with going viral, with making a name for ourselves. Social media fuels the comparison trap. If you're not remarkable, you feel replaceable. Social media has made it to where we see everybody else, but the thing is, we only see 1% of their life. I never post any Facebook post when Maddie takes a test, and that thing looks like an ink pen that was red just threw up on it. And there's red lines every which way, and it's not a 100. Very rarely, in fact, I don't think I've ever posted it and said, look at what my daughter did. We're so proud of her. But if you see the only thing that others post, you start realizing my life is kind of not as good as theirs. As we look here, we're living in a society that is preaching to us, you've got to be remarkable. You know what? I'm here today to say you don't have to be remarkable. You are great how God made you. And we're going to look at this here in a moment. And I know that kind of sounds like a meme, or that kind of sounds very cheap. Like, yay, you're great the way God made you. But hear me out on this, okay? Don't get so like, I've heard this before. Let's really do a Bible study on this. The gospel says that your value is fixed. This is something that really blew my mind. Our value is fixed because I've been designed by God, not because of how unique or impressive I am. I am worth the same throughout my whole life. My value has been fixed. I am not going to appreciate in value And I'm not going to depreciate in value. My value has been set a long time ago. And that value is the blood of Jesus. Our value is not contingent upon what accolades we reach in life. Our value has been set at the highest level possible. That's big for me. Now, you don't have to be special to be significant. And I know this kind of goes against what your mother told you. Your mother told you you were special. Your mother told you that you're wonderful. Your fourth grade teacher even told you about how snowflakes are, no two of them are alike. And you are just like those snowflakes. Yay. But here's the deal. There's 7 billion people on the planet. And people are very similar. And really, in a crowd, we kind of just blur together. But here's the thing. You don't have to be the purple shiny snowflake in order to recognize that you were made on purpose. And you don't have to stand out to where everybody immediately looks at you and they're like, whoa, look at you! In order for you to recognize God has a plan for your life. So here's the thing. Don't worry about trying to be special, but instead just recognize you are significant because of the breath of God that is in you. Here's the first thought. Comparison is a curse. If I live my life comparing myself, I will be the most miserable person you'll ever meet. If the foot that's pretty important, the foot is really one of, it's up there in the top 10 of body parts. If the foot will say, well, I'm not a hand. Look at the hand. He gets to wave at everybody. If I pull me out, everybody's going to say, the hand, nobody's like, whose hand is out? I smell something. The foot is like, I'm not the hand, therefore I don't guess I have a place. That's something to really think about. The foot is valuable. But God says if the foot starts comparing itself to the hand, it's going to be miserable. And if the ear starts trying to compare itself to the eye, it's going to be miserable. Comparison is a curse. Comparison creates discontentment. Imagine if the foot starts comparing itself to the hand and then the foot just says, well, I'm out. I'm going to bounce because I don't get to be the hand. Here is Marvin. This is Marvin, everybody. Say hi to Marvin. Hi, Marvin. Marvin has an English degree from the University of Virginia. Marvin has an estimated net worth at $2 million. Marvin, with an English degree, is worth $2 million. Marvin has done well in life. Could we agree with that? All right, Marvin's done well, but let's compare Marvin to his brother. This is Neil. Neil is an insurance CEO, and he's estimated net worth is $5 million. If Marvin, who is worth $2 million and a graduate of the University of Virginia, compares himself to Neil, he's going to feel like a loser. Like, here I am, just Marvin. There's Neil coming in, flaunting his money. Neil's a pretty successful guy. But what if Neil starts comparing himself to his father, George? George was president of the United States for one term. Neil, yeah, you've done well in the insurance business, I guess. That's kind of cute. But I was president. If Neil compares himself to his father, he's a failure. Father, president of the United States for one term. But if George compares himself to his son, W was president of the United States for two terms. Do you see how the comparison game goes? Here's Marvin. He's the brother, and he's worth $2 million. But he's got a brother He's worth $5 million, but he wasn't president. But he lost his reelection in 1992, but he didn't. Now imagine this guy comparing himself to Marvin. Marvin gets to drive down the road in a vehicle. And Marvin doesn't walk into a room and people say, "Here's Hitler." Marvin's got a pretty good life. Do you see how each one of these people could compare themselves to somebody else? All of them highly successful in their own right. But if you live the comparison life, guess what? You're never going to feel like you have reached that place. Now, how does that meet with you and me? This was not a political post. Don't send me an email saying you went political on me. There ain't nothing. There ain't no political there. This is just showing how you can compare yourself and in the end come right back to the thing. How does that apply to us? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's kind of like golf. We like to try to make life like it is basketball, like it is tennis, like it is some sport where I'm competing against you. But here's the thing. We're not in a competition with each other. This is more like a game of golf where every day the only person I'm competing against is me. Paul said it like this: I have to bring myself into subjection. I have to die daily. And he says here, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. And so when I look here at this, going back through all of this, comparison creates discontentment. If I live my life trying to compare myself to everybody around me, I will never be content with life. And if you live your life constantly trying to look at how much they have versus how much you have, and where they live versus where you live, and compare yourself to what degree they have versus what degree you have, or here's something, compare your family to their family, and you see their beautiful children, you see how wonderful their children are doing, you see how great their children are performing, and you live in your home with your children, and you know how your children are, you will find yourself on a dangerous pathway, looking out at others, when God is saying, quit looking out your window at everybody else around you, but instead just look at what I have given you and be content with what you have. And in the process of being content with what you have, you'll find more peace than you ever realized. What has God called us to do? Number one, he has called us to look at comparison as a curse. I'm not looking at what you have versus what I have, but instead I'm going to look at what God has given me and give him thanks for that right there. Comparison is a curse. But going on beyond that, comparison creates identity confusion. If I start comparing myself with you, I will find myself trying to become you. And who you have been called to be is not who I have been called to be. And if I live my life trying to be you, then there is a big void in this world that could only have been fulfilled by me. The hand says, I'm over here, and the foot saying, yeah, but I wish I were you. Try walking on your hands. You can't do it. And if the foot decides it's going to be a hand, you're going to have a hard time running a marathon. And if the ear decides it's going to start looking, you'll be like a deer and be able to look out both sides of your body. But you'll be like me in the living room when Macy's talking to me and all I see is this. And I'll say, talk louder. And she'll say. And I'll say, talk louder. And she'll think she's being rude and smart aleck, and she'll scream at me. And I'll say, yes, thank you. Yes, I'll take corn, thank you. We have got to see that when we compare ourselves to everybody else, we find the temptation to become everybody else. But I will remind you, God has called us to be us. Let every man prove his own work. Let everybody do their own thing, do their own work. Now, this isn't excusing sin. This is not going in the direction saying that you're free to sin and you're free to live godless. You're free to live wild and wicked. That's not what this is saying. You and me both know there is a straight and narrow path that God has called us to walk on. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about while we're trying to live for God, while we're trying to be holy, while we're trying to be the individuals that God has called us to be, let's remember this, that every one of us needs to be doing our own thing. You do what God has called you to do with your life. Let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. When you become satisfied with the person God made you to be, then you'll be satisfied with yourself. And you don't have to worry about the celebrities. You don't have to worry about the politicians. You don't have to worry about finding a hero. Your joy will come from within and from the God of heaven living within you. Let everybody find their thing to do and do what God's called you to do. Comparison is a curse. But here's the second thing. We have been placed with purpose. It was God's will that I be born in the dog days of summer in Logan County, West Virginia. Why? I don't know. But he had a reason for it. It was God's will that you be born into the household and the family that you were born into. It was God's will that your race be what it is. It was God's will that your gender be what it is. It was God's will that your whole situation, regardless of how challenging it may have been or how easy it may have been, God's perfect will was the life you were born into. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God places us on purpose. What I love about this church is that in my mind, it is the fulfillment of scriptures where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. When I think about that term, preachers use that term whenever there ain't but two or three people in church, and they'll get up and they'll be like, well, we still got a quorum to have church. We're two or three here. He's here with us. But what the scripture is truly saying is that where two or three are gathered together, God is in the midst of them. And when that word gathered is two or three have been sought after to gather eggs. The eggs don't come and jump inside of the basket. Somebody has to go and gather them, to get them, to grab them, to place them, and to bring them. And in this room are individuals that truly would not sit together in a room in a whole lot of other areas. The things we have lacking in common, the things that are barriers to us being united, are far greater sometimes. And yet there is one thing that we have in common. And that is that the God of heaven loved us enough to go out and find us and bring us into this place so that here we are together in one room, hands lifted high in praise to the God of heaven, having been gathered to this place right here. We see here God hath made us many members and yet put us in one body. God places us on purpose. Whatever messed up situation you come from, no matter what shortage you have physically speaking, no matter what body imperfection you might have brought into this place today, do not forget the fact that the God of heaven has placed us on purpose. He has created us. The Bible even says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the workmanship of God. We are the very epitome of God's creation. God spoke the Big Dipper into being. God spoke all the planets of the solar system into being. God spoke the asteroid belt into being, separating Jupiter from Mars. God spoke our sun into being. God spoke the mountains into being. God spoke the most microscopic of creatures into being. And yet God formed humanity out of the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils of humanity the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You and me were made different. We are His workmanship. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There are no accidents when it comes to God. And here you are today, trying to compare yourself to somebody else, or looking at somebody else's life. And their life might be more incredible. It might be more spectacular. It might get more attention. It might receive more accolades. They might be known by more people. They might have more wealth than you. They might have more natural beauty than you. And here you are thinking, I am a nobody, forgotten. And I wish that I could be special. I wish I could stand out. I wish I could be a career-focused person. I wish I could do something that would let people see me. And here I am to tell you, God already sees you. God already loves you. And God already knows you. And you are the apple of His eye. And how much does He love you? This much right here. Arms open wide. And His blood dripping down a cross. That's how much He loves you. God's design is worth celebrating. We're going to celebrate the purchase of this building in a few weeks. We celebrated a few weeks ago me turning 40. Young man that I am. We celebrate any chance we get. But you know what the greatest thing we can celebrate is? We can celebrate the fact that we have been made. Not just that we've been made, but how we've been made. I will praise you, God. This almost sounds narcissistic. I'm going to praise you because of how you made me. Doesn't that sound almost like it's right at the edge of like, you did so good, I'm going to praise you. Why wouldn't I praise God? Look at me, is what He's saying here. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank God any person in this room can quote 139 verse 14. And it still be just as true. Our culture has in its mind what is acceptable. Our culture has in its thoughts what is special. God says, you're special to me. You are the apple of my eye. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. Look back here. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Long, long time ago, God began forming you in the womb. You are His workmanship. You are His craftsmanship. And you exist today, and your very existence is special. That right there is enough to where you should see, I don't need the applause of humanity. And I don't need the social media post. And I don't need somebody patting me on the head, telling me how wonderful I am. I might be one of 7 billion. But I'll say this, in God's eyes, I'm special. And if I'm special to God, I don't need to be special to you, because He's already said it. And here's the last thing. Faithfulness is freedom. So number one, comparison is a curse. And if I live my life comparing me to everybody else, I'm always going to find somebody that's uglier and meaner than me. But I'm also always going to find somebody that's better than me. And what we typically like to do is we like to compare ourselves in the wrong direction every time. If I'm doing bad, I always want to look for somebody that's badder than me. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not that guy. And there's plenty of, I mean, we live in a crazy world where people are putting their grandmas in the refrigerator. So you always going to be able to find somebody that's worse than you. Okay? No matter what you're doing, you're going to find somebody that's worse than you are. So when you're doing bad, you look for that person that's even worse. And, well, I'm not them. But then when you're doing well, you can go in the opposite direction. And here you are, never been doing better in your life. Here you are, being blessed beyond all measure. And then you start looking around and you say, well, look what they've got compared to what I've got. Look what they've got going on compared to what I've got going on. And you'll miss out on the blessing God has for you there. Cursing, it is. Comparison is a curse. And the second thing, we have been placed on purpose. And then lastly, if we just get faithful to God and quit trying to compare ourselves, we'll find more freedom in life than ever imagined. There is a great blessing that comes with just being content. But now are they many members, yet but one body. We're made for faithfulness, not flashiness. There's a whole lot of different members, and yet they're one body. 1 Samuel 16:7 is it, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You may never get an applause. You may never get recognition. And you may never be told that you're special. And you may truly blend in with a crowd. And in a world that is telling you, you're special, you're unique, you're great, yay you. The reality is you don't have to be any of those things. You don't have to imagine yourself as being any of those things. Because God looks on your heart and knows you better than anybody else does. And if God be for us, who can be against us?